some things in the Word of God. And it's the heart of God, what I'm going to share with you. I want you to keep your Bibles open this morning. And I want you to get a piece of paper out. How many, if you don't have a piece of paper, come to me and I'll give you a piece of paper. Well, I don't have no paper. But there's a notebook right here. I want you to pass out a piece of paper to everybody that needs one. And I want you to keep it in your lap for after the service. You'll understand why I had you to do that after the service. It's the will of God what I'm going to do today. And I'm excited what God's going to do in our life and in our church. So just keep that paper and a pen out for after the service. You'll know why I had you to do that. But while you're doing that, go with me to 2 Kings chapter number 8, chapter number 4. Second Kings chapter 4.
Second Kings what?
Chapter 4. When you find it, just say amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading quite a few verses this morning, so I won't make you stand this morning. Unless you really want to stand, it's up to you. But I will be reading several verses this morning, more than usual. But we're going to cover all this morning. We're going to try to. I know we will. And I want you to really pay attention this morning. I'm going to try to slow down a little bit as much as possible and show you some things from these verses. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 8. And it fell in a day that Elisha passed from Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us, he shall turn in hither. And it fell on the day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said unto Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us in all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is it to be done for her? Then Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out with his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to the lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, then died. Then she went up and laid him on the bed, and the man of God shut the door upon him and went out. Skip on down to verse 32. When Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead upon the bed. And when he went in, therefore, shut the door upon him twain, upon them twain, prayed unto the Lord, and went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, eyes upon his eyes, hands upon his hands, stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh waxed warm. Then he returned to the house, walked to and fro, went up, stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Then said Gehazi unto the Shunammite, Call her. And when she came in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. I'm going to use this morning for a simple subject, the Shunammite woman. the Shulamite woman. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Father, I'm asking you this morning for a heavy anointing. I'm asking you, God, to anoint their ears to hear. Help me to say all that you would want me to say in the way that you want me to say it in. I pray, God, that I do no violence to that word whatsoever. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
The Shulamite woman. Now, church, it is the desire and drive of my heart to see revival come to this church. My every waking moment seems to be thinking on revival. I find myself time after time daydreaming about it. I find myself dreaming about it at night, about revival. The Bible said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the church. If you've got an ear to hear, God will speak to that heart.
Yes.
Now, I believe we all ought to have a desire to develop a spiritual ear so we can hear the Spirit when he speaks to our heart. In church, over the years of time, I've come to recognize the Spirit of God when he talks to my heart. Now, I would say to you, he don't talk to me every day like he does some folk. Some folk he talks to every day, he'll tell them what kind of jelly to put on their toast. But God doesn't tell me that. He doesn't talk to me every day, but when the Lord does talk to me, I know when he speaks. And folks, I'm saying that for a purpose. Because at Wednesday, this past Wednesday on the 16th of February, at 7:15 at nighttime, God began to speak to my heart concerning this church, concerning this body. And as I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit moved upon me at 7:15. How do you know it was 7:15? Because I took the time to look at the clock to find out what time it was so I could write it down. And it was 7:15 p.m. The Holy Spirit moved upon my heart and he spoke to my heart. And he said to me, he said, Nathan, I'm going to send a revival to the church.
Yes.
And many are going to be saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
And then he said to me, he said, the work that I'm going to do, oh, I feel this, folks. I've got new dads upon new dads. I feel it this morning. He said to me as well, he said, the work that I'm going to do in this end time hour is going to be a quick, swift, and very thorough work. And church, hallelujah. And you've got to understand what he's saying. He's saying to us, I'm going to send a move of God to your church. And people you never thought is going to get in and be saved. I never thought in a million years that I would look over the crowd this morning and see some of you here. What are you saying? I'm saying God is sending a move of God to our church. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God. I'm saying it's already began. I'm seeing people come to church that I never thought that I'd ever see in church again. The folks that are coming. Why? Because God said, I'm going to send a revival to the church.
Thank you.
Then he said, the work that I'm going to do is going to be a quick, swift, and thorough work. That means there's going to be deep inner dealings of the heart. Why quick work? Why swift work? Because time is running out. He's going to do a quick work because, amen, time is running out. And folks, the getting in, time is now. The days of serving Jesus when it's convenient for us is over. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you listening? The days of serving God when it's just convenient for you, it's over. Them days are over. Now it's time to dive in, get committed, get dedicated, get hungry, get hot on fire for God. This is the day. This is the hour. Now's the time.
Amen.
And folks, we're going to look back over the years of time if the Lord tarries. And we're going to look back and say one to another, wow, had God done great things among us. Woo, glory to God. When we look back, we're going to shout to one another, wow, can you believe what has happened here in church? Can you believe what's happened at our little Pierce Town Youth Center? How God has moved. God has saved. Drunkards have been made sober. Drug addicts are being set free. Broken homes and marriages to be. That don't build pride in my heart. It humbles me. Because I think, who are we? Who are we? And that's why I'm preaching to you this morning that it's not just one. It's going to take us all to accumulate, to cultivate the work of God.
Right.
To cultivate the work of God. That's what I was trying to tell you. It's going to take us all into this move of God. Now, this morning, there's some great lessons about revival that I want to teach to you from this Shulamite story. This is probably one of the greatest stories in the entirety of the Word of God concerning revival. And there's several points here that I want to bring out to you this morning. The Bible says, so point number one, if you're taking notes, the first point that I want to bring out to you about revival is this, that this woman had spiritual perception. The Bible said in verse number 9, she said to her husband, "Behold, I perceive that this is a holy man of God." Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. Elisha the prophet, he was the move of God of her day. Let me say that again. Elisha was the move of God in her day. And she said to her husband, "Honey, I perceive that this is a holy man of God." She perceived that he was the move of God. She perceived that he was what he said he was. In church, that's the first step to us having a revival in this church. We've got to perceive that God wants to move and God wants to do something. We've got to perceive that it's the will of God. There can be no doubts about it. It's time that we eradicate all the doubts out of our mind and say to like the Shulamite, "I perceive that God wants to do something among us." She said, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God." She perceived and she recognized the time of her visitation. And church, you've got to perceive that. You've got to have spiritual perception that this is the will of God. This is what God wants to do. This is the desire of God. This is the timing of God. This is the hour of God. We perceive that, Lord. We perceive what you're saying. And we say, "Do it, Lord." So the first step of having revival, you've got to perceive that it's the will of God. That little man who was ate up with leprosy said, "Lord, if thou canst, will you make me clean? If thou can, will you make me clean?" And Jesus said, "I will." See, you've got to perceive that he will do what he said he wants to do. He said, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And I perceive that this is the time, this is the hour, and we're the ones that God has chosen to bring the move of God to this community. Yes, that's little ones that are in this building this morning. We are the ones. This is the day. This is the hour. We're the ones that God has chosen and appointed. And he's going
Yes.
He never appoints. Who he appoints, he anoints.
That's right. Amen.
Where he leads, he feeds. Where he guides, he will provide. Church, get that down in your heart. I perceive. I pray tonight, this morning, when you walk out of here, you can say with a Shulamite, "I perceive this is the will of God." Hallelujah to the Lamb. The second step in revival. The Bible said, look at verse 8. She said, verse number 8 said, she constrained him to eat bread. So get this in your mind. When this prophet would walk by and pass by, the Bible says she constrained him to come into her home and eat bread here. Now that word constrained in the Hebrew means to be attached. It means to lay siege on. It means to lay hold upon. I want you to get this in your mind. Get this mental picture in your mind, this mental image. When that prophet would pass by our house, she would take and come outside and fall at his feet and constrain him, saying, would you come into my home and eat my bread? And church, let me say to you, if we're going to see revival, we are going to have to be like the Shulamite. We are going to have to fall down, lay hold on him, and lay siege on him, and say, Lord, don't pass us by. Come into our home. Come into our church. Come into our lives. And do your perfect will and your perfect work among us. You've got to constrain him. We want him here. We want his power here. We want his anointing here. We want your glory here. We constrain you, Lord, to come in our home. She constrained him to come. She fell at his feet. Laid hell on him. She attached herself to him. Oh, hallelujah. Church, that's what he's saying to us. If you want me to come, you're going to have to attach yourself to me. You're going to have to detach yourself from this world and attach yourself to me like a Siamese twin. You have to help, bless God. We got to become one in this thing. We got to detach ourselves from the world, detach ourselves from everything that would distract us, and attach ourselves to Jesus in this end time hour.
Yes.
Glory to God. That is what we're talking about this morning, and that is what's going to produce a move of God among us. God has never dealt with the majority, but rather the holy minority. This is it, folks. We got to focus on here and now. She constrained him. She laid siege on him. She laid hold on him. Oh, when I read that, lay hold on him. You know what that brought me back to? Paul said, lay hold of eternal life. What does it mean? You know, that an eagle is so powerful in its talons that it can fly and pick up a baby kangaroo that weighs 100 pounds, 10 times the weight of an eagle, and carry it off. Why? Because of his talents are so strong. He lays hold of that thing. That's what Paul is saying. That's what the Bible is saying. Lay hold on me and don't let me go. That's what Jacob did down in Jabbok when he wrestled with the Lord. And the Lord said, let me go. But it's breaking daylight. And Jacob said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. Oh, church, that needs to be the desire of our heart. Oh, God, we're not going to let you go. Till you bless us. Till you pour out your spirit among us. We've got to hold on. We'll grapple with you. We'll wrestle with you from now on until you bring a move of the spirit among this people.
Yes.
Wrestle with him. You lay hold on him.
Amen.
And the third thing that she did, she said to her husband, she said, honey, she said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. She said, why don't you go upstairs and knock out that wall? We're not using that up there. We're not doing nothing with that old place. Won't you knock out the wall and make a little chamber up there? Build this prophet a chamber.
Yeah.
Put him a bed there. Put him a stool there. Put him a table there. Put him a candlestick there. So when he comes there, he'll have a place to sit down, have a place to write out his sermons. He has a table there, has a stool there, has a candle out there, has a bed there to lay on. Why don't you make this prophet a room? Make him a little chamber. So the third thing that we are going to have to do, if we're going to have revival, is we got to make room for him. She was willing to accommodate the man of God. So by her accommodating the man of God, she was accommodating a move of God. She was willing to move whatever things necessary out to move him in. It seems like our lives are so cluttered with stuff. We've got things to do, places to go, people to see. Our calendars are full. Our itineraries are full. There's no room for nothing else. Amen, to get into our lives. But the problem with a lot of that stuff, it plays right into the hand of the devil because it takes us away from him. Everything that takes us away from him church.
Amen. Yes, amen.
She said, I want to make a room for him. Do you realize what's going on now? She was willing to change her whole lifestyle to let him come in her home. And you got to understand, folks, this prophet coming into her home is going to change things up. Because now she ain't going to be able to get up and walk down the hallway in her nightgown anymore. Because somebody else is there. And hubby ain't going to get up and, well, walk down the with his robe on. Everything changes because he's there. But she was willing to sacrifice her life and put it on hold to make room for him. Right. And church, that's what God's saying. You've got to be willing to sacrifice your life, your time, and put it all on hold to make room for a move of God. I don't know about you, church, but I'm willing to accommodate a move of God. I'm willing to change my lifestyle all the way up to make room for the Son of God. Oh, Lord, come. We'll make room for you at Pierstown View Center.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Yes.
We'll make whatever necessary changes we have to make to get him to come. Do you realize how dark it is out in that community? This community is drug-induced. It's alcohol-induced. There's all kinds of lust and perversion and filth. But church, I want to tell you, it may be dark out here, but it can be light in here. And that light can expel all the darkness if we'll make room for him. I can promise you, there'll be people coming up off these streets. They'll be stumbling here drunk and all out of their mind, demon-possessed. But they can leave, amen, sober with the power of God put in their heart and saying, praise God, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light.
Yes.
I'm believing, church, for the power of God to be so strong that when they step out of their chair, cars, and when they cross the threshold into this house, they feel the power of God. They feel that power of joy, of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit when they come and sit down. You know, I'm believing God for such a move of the Spirit that they may come just to spectate to see what's really going on here. But those spectators are going to end up being participators when the glory of God touches their heart. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah to the Lamb! My Lord, I feel this. Woo! My Lord! Are you feeling what I'm preaching this morning? My Lord! You know, that's the problem with the modern church. We've got more spectators than we got participators. Why don't we all just participate and worship God, love on Jesus, and thank Him for our salvation every day? I believe there's going to be such a move of God here that people are going to come here, leave here, stretching this, and wow, what meaneth this? Glory to God. That's what happened in the book of Acts. Amen. They said, what meaneth this? Oh, church, I want to tell you, I'm believing, I'm perceiving that this is going to be so.
Yes, amen.
And I'm making room for it. Now, what point was that?
Three.
Four. Fourth point. Look at your scripture. Look at your Bible. Third, okay. Now, that's the third one. We're on the fourth point. Look at verse number 10. She said, let's make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him a bed, table, stool, candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. Now look at these words. When he cometh to us. Does that say that in your Bible?
Yep.
When he cometh to us. What was she doing by making that statement? She was expecting him to come.
Yep.
Didn't say if he comes, but when. Woo! He comes. Church, I'm not saying if he coming. I'm just saying when he comes. She had an expectancy. And church, that's the fourth point. You've got to have an expectancy that he is going to come. And I don't know when he's coming. I just know he's coming. Hallelujah. If we'll prepare our hearts and we make the necessary statement they made, if you build it, they will come. But church, if you make room for him, if you build a place for him, he's going to come. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel it, folks. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you. Have an expectancy. Perceive that this is God's will. And believe that God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in the last days.
Amen.
She said, when he cometh to us. Not if he comes to us, but when he cometh to us. She expected him to come. Said, since we made room for him, when he comes, he's going to stop by here. Church, amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want God passing us up. I don't want God passing us up, going over, amen, some other state, some other city, when God had in mind pouring out his spirit here. Church, I don't want to miss the hour of our visitation. And I believe it's closer than what we believe. I believe we're seeing the rough, the moving of it now. Even now as I speak, and even the now as we're preaching, I'm beginning to see a move of God beginning to take place. But it's not on the scale that I believe is coming. But we've got to continue to keep our heart right, our minds pure, our heart on the right path, and then make room for him. And when he comes, he's coming to us. Glory to God. I'm talking about folks moving with God where people are going to get healed, saved, delivered.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Why not?
That's right. Why not?
Why not? Why not people coming in wheelchairs and leave pushing them? Why not hanging up, amen, little souvenirs on the walls where people threw down the crutches? Why not, folks? Amen, I've read about it. I believe we're going to see it, bless God. He that can believe all things are possible to him that believeth. I'm tired of the devil winning the victories over people's lives. I'm tired of the cancer. I'm tired of the AIDS. I'm tired of all the victims of this old sin-sick world. I'm ready to see God come and God move and God display his mighty power. I'm ready to see God bare his arm and flex his mighty muscle and point his finger right at the devil saying, enough! Hey, enough. Woo! Enough. Glory to God. Enough. Cancer be gone. Sickness be healed. Lazarus, get up out of that ground and come alive.
Amen.
Wow! That's the God that I'm talking about this morning. He's still God. Woo!
Yes.
And I feel this morning. Yes. So four things. She had an expectancy. Look at verse 13 with me. He said, "And when he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful with all this care. What is to be done for her?" Now I want you to notice something. The prophet said, you've showed us all this care. You made room for us. You knocked out a wall. You put a table. You've done all this good. You took care of me. You made room for me. What can I do for you? Wow! What is that saying to us? He said, church, when a move of God comes, it's going to require some things. It's going to require you take care of things. That means you're going to. There's going to be people coming, staying late at night. That means people are going to come in. We're going to have people vacuuming the floors. We're going to have people taking care of the church. You show care for me, and I'm going to do something in return for you. Let me tell you this. God never asked you to do something. Well, let me say it this way. God never borrows something from you that he ain't aimed to give you something in return. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? When Jesus was on the Luke chapter 5, he was on the sandy seashore of Gadara, on Galilee, there, the lake of Galilee. He asked Peter, let me borrow your boat. Let me use your boat and thrust me outside. So there was a crowd of people there, and everybody couldn't hear him. So he asked Peter, can I borrow your boat? So Peter said, sure. And he got in the boat, and they thrust him out into the water a little bit, and he began to talk to him, though, and his voice echoed off that water. And now it's like an amplifier. People were able to hear him now. But after he got done ministering, he said, Peter, let's go out. Let your net down for a catch. Mm-hmm. Peter said, Lord, we've done this all night, never caught nothing. He said, but at your word, we'll go. The Bible said that Peter went out there, they caught such a multitude of fish that the necks began to break. He borrowed the bowl, but look what it gave him in return.
Amen.
He borrowed 5 fish and 2 loaves from a little lad and gave the little lad 12 baskets back. If God asks you for something, he's going to give you something back greater than what you could ever imagine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You make room for him, he'll say, what can I do for you? You let me move in your church. You've let me come to in your church. You've let me pour out my spirit in your church. What can I do for you?
Amen.
Wow. And the Bible says she had no son. She had no children. She was getting old. And the prophet said, consider it done. And the Bible says she had a son. The baby grown to about 12 years old. Was out in the field reaping the harvest with his daddy. And all of a sudden he grabbed his head. My head, my head, my head. He had a heat stroke. And they took him in there, took him to his mother, and the mother set him on his lap. And the baby died in her lap. But she turned around and took him and laid him on the bed of the prophet. Church, sometimes our dream, sometimes our promise seems to die right in our lap. And we feel like it's hopeless. It feels like this is it. It's died right in our lap. But church, listen to me. Your promise may be dead in your eyes. But she took him to the prophet's room that she built. Church, let me say this. If you don't build a place, you've got no place to take your problems when they come around. You better have a place. You better have a place to take your knees to.
There you go.
But because she made room for him, she had a place to take her problems. Some of you right now in the sound of my voice, you've got promises. God said, I'll save your loved ones. I'm going to save your family. I'm going to save your husband. I'm going to do this. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this. And it seems like all hell is broke loose and our promises are dead right in our lap. But church, take them to the room and lay them on the bed that you made for the prophet of God.
Amen.
Lay them on this altar is what he's saying. And the Bible says she laid him down on that room, went out and shut the door. And she told her husband, get me a horse, camel, get it together. I've got to go after the man of God. The Bible says she went after the prophet. Church, the problem with the church in this hour is that when we got problems, we run to everything else but God.
That's right. Yeah.
We've got a nervous problem, we run to the pill bottle.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
We've got mental problem. We run to psychiatrists.
That's right.
Why do that when you can run straight to the prophet?
Amen.
Why run to the world for help when the world can't help you? Only God can.
Huh?
And besides God, the world didn't give you that baby. God gave you that baby. And she ran after the man of God. The Bible said when she found him, she fell at his feet. Grabbed a hold of him. And the Bible said that the prophet went into the room of the boy. Went into his room and shut the door behind him. And the Bible said he prayed. This is verse 32 and 33. Said he shut the door on the two of them. Church, sometimes when you get serious with God in prayer, you're going to have to shut out all the distractions. Sometimes you're going to have to shut the door on the world and all the distractions and say, God, I need your help right now. This is beyond my help. I can't handle this. It's beyond. I can't do nothing to solve this. I don't know what to do. My nerves are shut. My mind's gone. Would you come and help me? But you've got to shut that door on your problem. The prophet shut the door on all the negative, all the doubt. Folks, let me tell you something. There was one place in the scriptures where Jesus took a little boy that was blind and led him outside of a city to heal him. Why? Because he had to get away from that city of doubt. Sometimes you've got to shut the doubt on your fears, shut the door on your unbelief, shut the door on your doubts, and say, you're not coming in here with me in faith. You've got to shut the door and leave faith along with it. Faith. And the Bible said that the prophet stretched himself over the baby, over the boy, hand on his hand, hand on that hand, mouth on his mouth, eyes on his eyes. You see, a prophet in the Old Testament was called a seer. A seer. He was sticking his Mouth on his mouth, eyes to his eyes. He was peering down into that boy's soul. He was a seer. He was God's seer. And that's one thing about revival that I love so well. And God comes and he peers right into the depth of our heart. And conviction. He's a seer. He sees down in that soul. He sees what's in that heart. And the prophet put his eyes on his eyes, hands on his hands. He said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And mouth on his mouth. This was the same mouth that prophesied his birth anyway.
That's right.
Now this is the same mouth going back to his mouth again. Mm-hmm. The Bible said that the boy's body began to wax warm. See, listen to me. Prayers aren't answered immediately. Sometimes you've got to warm up to the things of God. The baby's body began to wax warm. He wasn't resurrected yet, but his body was getting warm. Church, I want to say to you, your prayers may not be answered yet, but they're getting warm. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your promises. Amen to God. They may not be resurrected yet, but they're getting warm. That's the next step to coming alive. Hallelujah. Your prayers are getting warm.
That's right.
And the Bible said he laid on that baby, then he got up off of the baby. After his body began to wax warm, and the Bible said he walked to and fro in that little room.
Mm-hmm.
To and fro. Think of that, to and fro. And the Lord showed me something about that. He said, son, what he was doing, do you know what he was doing? He said to me, I said, no, Lord. He took me back to Job chapter 1, verse 7. God asked Satan, said, where have you been, Satan? He said, I've been walking up and down and to and fro in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
When that prophet got up off that bull, he started walking to and fro in that room. He was battling the powers of darkness. He was pushing the power of death away from that boy. I want to tell somebody this morning, that's what we're going to do to this community. We're going to battle the powers of hell. We're going to say to the devil, you can't have them. You've got to loose them. We're going to fight you tooth and toenail. We're going to push you back. We're going to say, my God, heaven's going to rule. Heaven's going to rule.
Right.
The Bible said that they battled. He walked to and fro. He was fighting the spirit of death and pushing it somewhere. Church, we're going to have to fight the powers of hell. We're going to push them back.
That's right.
The Bible said he stretched himself over him again. Church, I want to say to you, God, the Holy Spirit is stretching himself over our promises right now. Woo! And yes. This time, chew. He sneezed 4 times, 5 times. On the 7th sneeze. You see, what causes a man to sneeze? Dirt gets up in that nose. That world, what he was doing, he was sneezing that world out of him. Glory to God. The breath of God came in him, and he sneezed that dirt, sneezed death out of him. Oh, church, I want to tell you, in this end time hour, God is going to move on us in such a way we're going to break off the world. The breath of God's coming in, and we're going to sneeze that dirt out, and we're going to live holier than we've ever lived in our lives.
Yes.
And the baby said, the boy resurrected.
Amen.
He was alive. In closing, Manny, would you come? No, that's all right. You can stay there too. You got a piece of paper too. Now, I want to say this. The child was resurrected. And all this, having a child and the child coming to life, was made possible. How? Because she made room for him. And the prophet said, since you've showed us all this care, what can I do for you? Church, I believe this is what God has told me to tell you at this church this morning. He said, I want you to tell your people to write down, since you're making room for me, since you're willing to let me come to your church and possess it and take over your church, I want you to say to them, what can I do for you? Wow! So I want you to write down on your piece of paper this morning what you want the Lord to do for you. I want you to write down, what can I do for you? I don't ask for $1 million. What's the dearest thing to your heart? Is it your loved ones? A new truck? Whatever you need God to do in your life, you write it down on that paper. and believe God for it to come to pass. When is it going to come to pass in my life? I couldn't tell you that. But I'm just telling you to have faith and believe that you this is going to happen.
Yes.
Now, won't you, every day, this is what God said. For me to tell you, you write it down. You don't share it with anybody. This is your business and God's business. Every day, you take that piece of paper to your closet, shut your door, wherever it is you pray, lay, stretch yourself over that paper.
Yes.
And believe God to bring it to life. My Lord.
Yes.
My Lord. When you get done writing that paper down, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring yourself in your paper to this altar, to this chair. Stretch yourself over it. Let's begin to pray over
yes.
these needs. If you can't, that's fine. You know what? Just do it right there. That's fine. But I want you to hold it next to your heart and pray and believe God. And this is what we're going to do every day till we see the thing resurrected. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Can we believe God for this?
Yeah.
Come on, church.
Come on, take it.
Hallelujah.